Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. At the Mystic Valley Regional Charter School, the school's dress code has turned into a debate over education and civil rights. Students at the school face detention, even suspension, if they wear extensions in their hair. And some parents say that policy is racist. Now, we contacted the school and asked them if they'd join us in this conversation today. They declined and referred us instead to a letter sent to parents that says the dress code is designed to, quote, permit students to focus their attentions on academics and reduces visible gaps between those of different means. Multiple civil rights groups, however, are weighing in, including the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Economic Justice. They've demanded public records from Mystic Valley Regional Charter School to assess the impact of the school's dress code on students of color. Joining us now are two of those students, Deanna and Maya Cook. They're 15-year-old, and they join us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi.
Also with us is their mom, Colleen Cook. Colleen, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And on the line is Kim Janey, Senior Project Director for the Massachusetts Advocate for Children. Kim Janey, welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
Kim, I'll come back to you in a couple of minutes, but I want to give Deanna and Maya a chance to tell us their story here. So this has gotten a lot of attention around the country and even around the world. Can you just tell us exactly what happened to you at Mystic Valley Regional Charter School about your hair?
Yeah. So our hair, we got extensions in them because we wanted to get them braided, and that's what Black African-American people do when they braid their hair. They just put extensions in it to protect it and to help it grow. And when we showed up to school, the first day we went, it was fine. No one said anything. And the second day, they told us that we had to take them out.
And did they say, who told you that, first of all? Teachers, administrators?
Yeah, a teacher and the nurse.
Okay. And did they say why?
They just said because we couldn't have extensions.
It violates the dress code.
Okay. And then what happened after that?
Well, we brought the letter home to our parents and we told them that we didn't think that was very fair because that's where we're supposed to have extensions in our hair, and asking us to take them out would be going against what we're supposed to do and what our culture is.
Mm-hmm. And we had till Monday to take them out, too.
Okay. And so they gave you a couple of days?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And, I mean, you've got them in now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you didn't take them out. And,
no.
And then what happened?
Well, we kept getting detentions and letters sent home, and the school kept just giving us more detentions and infractions for it.
Yeah, and we kept on, like, as we kept them in day after day, we were in more and more violation of the dress code and their policy.
Okay. Now, I've also, well, actually, Colleen, let me pull you in here. When Deanna and Maya told you this happened and the school contacted you, what was your thought?
We met with the school a couple times, and we asked them, how do we go about talking and having a conversation to change the policy? And they basically said that they felt this was an equitable policy and they weren't going to change it. And that's when we sent a certified letter to the Board of Trustees asking for discipline to be paused and to talk about the policy and how we thought it was not equitable across the board and a discriminatory policy.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's part of the story, help me understand here, that are you guys, did you witness other students being asked about their hair as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Students were called down, whether they had braids or not, just if they were, like, most of them, or all of them were just Black or African American, and they were called down. Some of them didn't even have braids, and they were asked if their hair was real or not, and some of them were interrogated, where the nurse or whoever was asking them was saying, oh, is that your real hair? Think about it. Think about it before you answer. Think real quick. Do you have your answer? Okay. Is it real or is it not real? Which is interrogation tactics. And most students said it was their real hair and some students said that it wasn't.
So, you know, in the letter that Mystic Valley Regional Charter School sent to parents, they say that the school, this is a quote, unequivocally did not march a group of students to the office.
I would say that the school should look in their records and their infractions that they sent out should all be dated on the same day. So if they're saying they didn't do that, they can check themselves because they were all sent down on the same day. And students, they all came and everyone knows about it because they came and they told them. It was a big thing because they said, oh, I was sent down for my hair. They asked me if it was real or not. And everybody said that was ridiculous. It was crazy.
Okay. Colleen, you know, the school says that there's the reason behind their dress code overall is, as I read earlier, that it really is designed to help students focus their attention on what matters, academics and things like that at school. And more importantly, they want to, again, in the school's words, reduce visible gaps between those of different means, with, you know, pointing to the fact that maybe young girls with extensions or other types of treatments to their hair, it might be a sign of, I don't know, better socioeconomic status, and that can be distracting.
They did not say that to me in my meetings with them. They told me that artificial or unnatural hair was not allowed to be braided in to their hair. So I found it I was very confused that they would now come and say that, because it costs less to have their hair braided because the braids last for 3 months. So if you have extensions in, it lasts quite a considerable time longer than just regular braids.
Yeah. So let me ask all of you guys a question here, because I was looking at this dress code overall. It's quite lengthy, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there are pretty specific rules about not wearing drastic or unnatural hair colors, no shaved lines, shaved sides, extra long hair or hair more than 2 inches in thickness or height is not allowed. No coloring, no dyeing, no lightening, no highlights, no streaking. I mean, there's a lot of rules here. Mm-hmm. You guys have been going to school there for quite a while now, right?
Yeah, yeah, 11 since years.
And so had you ever run into any of this kind of thing before? I mean, any violations of the dress code before?
Yeah, there's
little
been
things, yeah.
Yeah, violations of dress code, but not related to hair extensions braided into your hair for protection.
So why do you think this is different? Why did you feel the need to speak out?
Because African Americans and Black people are really the only ones who I've seen wear extensions, and all of my friends have extensions in their hair. They are the ones, you know, Black people, they have them. So when they said no extensions, I thought, well, only Black people wear extensions, so how would that be fair? Because that not everybody wears them. Mm-hmm.
Well, Kim Janey, with the Massachusetts Advocates for Children, Senior Project Director there, you've been very patient. Thank you very much. React to what you've been hearing here. What do you have concerns?
I have deep concerns, so I was just completely outraged. But first, I would just want to commend Maya and Deanna for standing up. I think you are very brave, and I appreciate you speaking out on this issue.
Thank you.
But it's outrageous. It really is outrageous and quite exhausting. So as a Black woman, that we are still dealing with this issue where our hair is being questioned, that students would be marched to an office to be interrogated about whether their hair is real. That is the real distraction.
Yeah. Mm.
That is taking time away from learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is discriminatory.
It is.
The bottom
it really
line
is.
It's discriminatory. And, you know, I hope that they will change this policy.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they do, you know, I'm deeply concerned that, you know, you still have a team of educators who believe that the only way Black children can learn is if somehow they be something other than who they are.
So Kim Janey, it's discriminatory if it's selectively applied against young women of color here, right? Because, I mean, again, I read through the whole school's dress code, and it seemed like almost anybody, regardless of race or even gender, could be found in violation of the dress code somehow. But don't we have to prove here that this is selectively happening to young women of color?
Well, I would just quote the young students, Maya and Deanna, who, I mean, the women, the girls who are wearing extensions tend to be Black girls at the school. Mm-hmm. And it's not that that's exclusive to them, but are they also then asking white students, is your hair dyed?
Yeah.
Which is a very expensive process. You can spend over $100 easily to get your hair dyed. Many people dye their hair. They might add highlights. They might go from brunette to blonde. But I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, what I read in the report in the Globe article was that, in fact, young students who have their hair colored, nothing is happening to them.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So I interrupted you earlier, and I apologize for that. But tell me more about this deeper issue that you were getting to about young people of color, specifically young women of color, and their hair and education, and how there are certain presumptions made about them that get played out in situations like this.
Well, yeah, I just think that we should be focusing on what is inside someone's head and not what's on top of their head. I think that is the real distraction. And even if they change this policy, and I hope that they do, and I don't want to see any of our young people facing punishment because they want to express themselves or celebrate their culture and their history. But even if they change the policy, you know, there's language in that policy that says if your hair grows 2 inches in height off your head, well, whose hair does that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
that's black people of color. Our hair tends to do that.
Mm-hmm. It disproportionately affects children of color.
Yeah. Well, Colleen Cook, let me ask you a question here. The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Economic Justice wrote a letter to Mystic Valley Regional Charter School. And in it, they said, denying young black women their opportunity to express their cultural identity will not make your school safer, more orderly, or less distracting. Doing this to high school students at a time when they are learning about self-expression and self-advocacy is particularly troubling. And then they write this, and doing this to a pair of black twin girls who were adopted by white parents and who are exploring their racial identity is profoundly disturbing. Can you comment on that?
It is disturbing. We want to enrich them. We want them to embrace their color. We're proud of them. We're proud of their beautiful black girls. We love them just the way they are. The school was also saying that adding this to their hair, they should feel good about who they are. And it's like, you're saying that they don't feel good about who they are. They absolutely do. This is black hair care.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. So it's a protective hairstyle. And mm-hmm. so there's going to be less heat on your hair in terms of blow drying or maybe pressing your hair. It's a protective hairstyle, and it is a part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, this attack on black hair and what we have had to go through as black girls and black women is really exhausting. I remember being a student, you know, myself in high school, and I went to a predominantly white high school where, you know, other students want to touch your hair. Mm-hmm. And pet you like you're you know, a pet, a dog or a cat.
Yeah.
That's offensive.
Yeah.
Kim Janey, what next steps would you like to see taken here in order to resolve this issue?
Well, I think the school should definitely follow through and respond to the letter sent by the Lawyers Committee. I think it was a very good letter. I think we need to see the data, the suspension data, to see how this is impacting our students, particularly if it's disproportionately targeting black students. We need to understand that. And I think they have to right that wrong. I think we need more diversity in the school in terms of the educators. So, you know, I read that there's one black teacher.
Right.
Even though the school is 40% students of color, that's
yeah.
problematic. That's how you end up with policies like this.
One black teacher on a staff of about 170.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think that is important to be addressed. I know folks are now interested in attending, you know, the next board meeting at DESE because mm-hmm. of this issue.
Yeah.
I mean, this is huge.
Colleen Cook, same question to you. I mean, these are your kids. Well, what would you like to? How would you like to see this get resolved?
White men and white women should not be trying to make a policy for black girls' hair. There should be input from the community. There should be input from fellow black people. This is a black issue, and I'm even learning every day. I don't know everything. But I've learned. I have braided their hair. I have sat down with them. I know their products. But I learn every day. And so I look to the community to figure out their hair. And as women, we all have bad hair days and we all, you know, fight with our hair. And it's an issue that's very complex mm-hmm. to the black community, especially the girls.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we've just got a couple seconds left. So mm-hmm. Maya and Deanna, last thought goes to you. I'm going to ask you the question I asked the adults here. What do you want? What are the next steps you want?
I would like to see the policy removed or revised to have, you know, to be for black people instead of against them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, think about our hair and how it should, it needs to be maintained instead of taking away what we need to do to maintain it.
Yeah. Well, I should once again underscore that we did invite Mystic Valley Regional Charter School to participate in this conversation. They did decline. But Maya and Deanna Cook, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And yes, Colleen Cook, my thanks to you as well.
Thank you so much.
And Kim Janey, Senior Project Director for the Massachusetts Advocate for Children, thank you as well for joining us.
Thank you for including me, and thank you, girls, for your advocacy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be keeping our eye on this story as it develops and see what happens. But to round out the show today, we want to end on another but different note of inspiration. And that inspiration comes from the legendary Lionel Richie. The Motown star was in town at the Berklee College of Music on Saturday. He received an honorary doctorate at commencement ceremonies held there. Richie, of course, is a best-selling solo artist and former member of the funk soul group The Commodores. Between 1981 and 1987, Richie had 13 consecutive top 10 singles. He also won 4 Grammys, an Oscar, and a Golden Globe. But as Lionel Richie told Berklee grads, when he was a young man, going into music wasn't expected, nor entirely welcomed by his family.
I sat there with my father and mother and grandmother, and I tried to explain to them that I'm going to venture out of the academic side of the Richie family and step into the world of music. We were going to be the Black Beatles, the Commodores. We were going to take over the world. I can't use the words my dad said to me at that moment, but he was clear that I was one damn fool in the family. And then 5 years passed, and one hit record, 5 hit records, 10 hit records. And Barbara Walters was interviewing my father. And he said, "Mr. Richie, what do you think about your son?" He said, "I think it is the job of every parent to stand firmly behind the child in his endeavors." Which means your parents can be paid off.
All it takes is multiple hit records. But on a more serious note, Lionel Richie gave Berklee students heartfelt encouragement to really pursue their dreams and to do so with humility. Because, as Richie said, you never know how much your music can change lives. It's a lesson that Richie said he learned in 1990.
Nelson Mandela had just come out of prison. And we had a group of us to bring him to New York and to L.A. And there were lines of people waiting to meet Madiba. And I remember he caught my eye from, I was in the back of the room, and he walked over to me, broke the line, walked over to me, and he said, "Young man, I want to thank you for all the lyrics you've written, because your words got me through many days in prison." And it was at that point in my life, I realized I had no words, just tears. I broke down on his shoulder. I realized that I was holding my father. I was holding the struggles of a nation and a world and a culture. And I made a difference.
Lionel Richie, speaking at the Berklee College of Music commencement ceremony on Saturday, he received an honorary doctorate of music. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm here.